Today's shiur and every shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by friends of Ben Yael England. It was chus for Shlema for Zechariah Kalman HaKohen, Ben Yael Margalit. I would like to try to finish up the sugya of Chalav Akum tonight. And even if we don't finish it, maybe we'll finish it. And we'll move on to another sugya tomorrow. Bezos Hashem Yisbarach. The main chakira that we discussed last time and that I want to get into how this plays out, Halacha L'maisa, is the discussion of whether the Gezerah of Chalav Akum was a Davar Shebeminyan or the Gezerah of Chalav Akum was not a Davar Shebeminyan, which would be impossible to be Mevatel without a Bezin that's Gadol L'Chachav Minyan, but rather was just a Chashash that you have to be Choshesh that maybe there's Chalav Tameh, and if there is no chance that there's Chalav Tameh, there's no reason to be Choshesh, then it would be Mutter. Those are the two Tzadim of the Chakira that we discussed last time. We tried to bring Raya's a little bit, at least, whether it's a davar shebeminyan or not. For one, we noted that in general, when the tam of the gzeira is not mentioned or is mentioned in the lashon of the gzeira, then that's an indication that you're able to be mevatel the gzeira when the tam doesn't apply. But if the tam is not mentioned in the lashon of the gzeira, then it's an indication that it's a davar shebeminyan. We thought, or I thought, some of you disagreed with me, that based on the fact that Chalav Akum, the Gemara struggles to figure out what the reason for Chalav Akum is, that seems to be a pretty strong indication that the Tam of the Gzeira was never mentioned in the wording of the Gzeira. Others wanted a Taina that, no, maybe they just forgot the exact wording of the Gzeira, and that's why they forgot the Tam. But I thought that was a reasonable assumption. Now, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch and you were to look through what you need in order to have your milk be kosher and not be Chalav Akum, what level of supervision is necessary, you'll find something interesting. If you open up the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Tes Vav and Sif Aleph, you basically find two constructs where everyone would agree that Chalav Akum is mutter. One construct is where the guy has a davar tamei be'edro, meaning the guy has not only cows in his barn, but he has non-kosher animals that can be milked also in his barn. So the Shulchan Aruch is matir that even if a Jew is sitting outside and he's unable to see what the guy is doing when he's sitting, as long as when he stands up, he's able to see what the guy is doing, that's good enough, that's close enough supervision. He doesn't actually need to see what the guy is doing, and that's mavur in the Gemara that there is such a heter. However, that heter only works because the guy has this sense of what we call mirtas, that he's afraid of being caught, and since he knows that davar tame, that non-kosher milk is not acceptable to the Jew, and the Jew could easily stand him when he could easily see him when he stands up, so that would be that's what would make it okay. The second basic construct is when there's ein davar tame be'edro, when there's nothing tame in the guy's barn, right? When there's ein davar tame be'edro, then we allow it even if the Yisrael sits outside of the barn and can't see anything. When he stands, when he sits, he can't see anything inside of the barn, as long as he guards the door, makes sure nothing comes in. Because if there's ein davar tame be'edro, then he knows, what's the guy going to milk in there? There are only cows in there. He's not going to be able to milk a pig or a camel or anything, because there's nothing in there. So all he's got to do is guard the door. And the reason for that heter, it does not seem to be one of mirtas. It's just that it's not shaykh. It's not something that he could possibly put anything in there. So that too is mutter. Aside from that, the Shach in Sifkat Nches writes, Meikra Din, Yisrael has to be there at the beginning of the Chaliva, at the beginning of the milking, to inspect the Kli, make sure that there's nothing in the Kli. Because it's not only the animals that could be a problem, that he's going to pull milk from a different animal, it could be that he put non-kosher milk in the kli before he went in the bucket that he's milking into. However, it seems that the Ramah doesn't agree with that. The Shach seems to be chalik on the Ramah. The Taz of Katan Dalet, if you look in the Grudz of Katan Vav explaining the Ramah, doesn't seem that that the Ramah agrees with that. Doesn't think that there's an inspection of the kli that's necessary. So why am I telling you all this? Why am I going through this? Wasn't in the Marmar Kamos, right? What am I getting at over here? So what you see is that. Let me give you one more example, and then I'll tell you what these are examples of. We'll see if you notice a trend. In a Jewish home, there's an automatic mirtas. There's an automatic fear that the guy has of doing anything wrong, and you don't need any of these requirements. If it's a guy working in your house, so then you can assume that the chal of akum is not a problem at all. Right? That's also mavur in Shulchan Aruch. The Grun, Sifkat and Zayin says, since it's the Basel Shal Yisrael and it's the Behemoth of the Yisrael, there's an automatic mirtos. It says if the Yisrael is Yoshim Mibachutz, it's as if the Jew is sitting right outside and could catch him at any time because he doesn't have that kind of chutzpah. So what emerges from all of these things? It seems that the Gzer is Mishum Chashash, right? What comes out of all of this is that if you know Bibirur, if you know with clarity that nothing went on here, and that it's Ki'ilu Yisrael was watching him, even though you didn't actually watch anything, you didn't actually see anything, it just happens to be your house. So you know he's not going to mess around when it's your house. Or it just happens to be that that you're sitting in a location where he'd be afraid by where you're sitting, but you didn't actually see anything. So it seems that that's enough to save the Chalav Akum problem. Why are all these things enough to save the Chalav Akum problem? It sounds like the Chalav Akum problem is that there's only a problem when you have to be Choshesh. Maybe in reality, there's Chalav Tameh mixed in. But if there's no reason to be Choshesh that there's Chalav Tameh mixed in, it's all going to be fine. So in our Tut Stadim of our Chakira, is it a Chashash that there might be Chalav Tameh mixed in? Or is it just, we don't care what the reality is. It's just a Gzeira and it's across the board. All these marmakomos seem to indicate the issue of chashash. Yeah.
That's called Yisrael
Ro'ehu. The question is, are they all called Yisrael Ro'ehu? If it's in the base Yisrael, it's in the house of Yisrael.
That's considered Yisrael Ro'ehu. So we have a much looser.
Right. So that's how we dealt with the Ramah that we mentioned last time, that the Jew comes in halfway through. So we said, okay, technically it fits the category of Yisrael Ro'ehu because the Jew saw part of the Chaliva. But the words Yisrael Ro'ehu, it doesn't sound like that's when that he has the ability, if he were to stand up, to possibly see, and he sees nothing. That's called Yisrael Ro'ehu. Or the Jew didn't see a single animal milked. He just guarded the door, make sure nothing went in. That's Yisrael Ro'ehu. It's hard to fit into the words that's called Yisrael Ro'ehu.
Is the heter that a Jewish home has an automatic mirtus, is that, let's say the goy prepared something before the Jew came home to his actual house. He prepared a cup of milk.
This is only for chalav that we're willing to rely on this heter. We don't rely on the heter of, since it's in your house, we'll get to Bishal Akum Sugyas. We don't rely on it for other...
If you prepare a cup of milk, if the goy prepares a cup of milk in advance, and you come home, how do you know, why is the fact that it was in the Jewish home matter? Because there's no sense of mirtus, because there's no Jew to catch him at the time where he prepared the cup of milk.
It's sort of like... There's a machlokas rishonim. I mean, there's a strange mashal for me to give you, but there's a machlokas rishonim when we talk about the isra of yichud, right? They're not allowed to have yichud with a woman, so isra daraisa with a married woman. So there's a heter that the Gemara says in Kiddushin that bala bi'ir, that if her husband's in town, then it's mutter, then you don't have anything to worry about. So there's machlokas in the rishonim. What if the bala's bi'ir, but the bala doesn't know, her husband doesn't know where she is? She comes to your house, so the husband can't find her. Right, so there's a discussion in the Rishonim. Is it that she's afraid of getting caught, and that's what's going to stop her, or is it just when her husband's in town, she just knows she better be on her best behavior. She just has this sense that he's around, and therefore she's going to be on her best behavior. So I would say that as like a mashal to answer your question. When it's in the house of the Yisrael, even if logically, practically, he doesn't really think he's going to get caught. He just knows, I don't want to mess around in this, you know, I'm in the house, I better be careful. Maybe you could say something like that. Or you could say that whatever he's doing, even if he prepared the milk in advance, he's afraid that he's going to get caught. That he's going to get caught with having unidentified milk in advance.
Certainly then, for what reasons we've given, it gets rid of the chashad in the Gemara.
Say again, what?
From the reasons that we've given so far, of so it's going to get rid of Ichlufe Nibure, because he's in the house and the guy is going to be scared of everything we've said here. And
Right, exactly. But that's only if you assume that, meaning that the gzeru was made in such a way where as long as you get rid of the chashash, you're okay. But if you assume the gzeru was made in such a way that the chashash was the reason for the gzeru, but once we make the gzeru, it's across the board, and we don't pay attention to the reason anymore, it's just going to apply no matter what, so we shouldn't care that it gets rid of the chashash. The gzeru was made in a way that it applies no matter what, whether you get rid of the chashash or don't get rid of the chashash. Right? So that's the background. Now, who says what in terms of when you know for sure that there's not a problem? So there's a major shita of the Pri Chadash quoted. I didn't give you the actual original of the Pri Chadash. It's quoted by everybody. Chazon Ish quotes it favorably. Most others quote it unfavorably. The shita of the Pri Chadash essentially is that there's a concept of that there's no davar tamei be'edro, that there's no davar tamei in the barn, in which case we have certain leniencies. But what if there's no davar tamei in the whole entire city? Not that there's no non-kosher animal, but there's no non-kosher animal getting milked in the whole entire city. No one would ever milk a camel, no one would ever milk a pig in the United States of America, let's say. I don't know if that's true, but let's say that that's true, that it's just not shaykh that anyone would ever milk. Would ever milk an animal in those situations. So if you look at Chazon Ish is the best place to see it on, I don't know how to explain it. It's in the back of the packet, in the photocopied parts. The Chazon Ish writes, in the paragraph beginning Va'amnam, he says, Va'amnam b'shiyesh pikuach ha-memshala al ha-chalav, sh'lo ya'arvu chalav tam, v'em tzpuyim la'onesh al ha-ziyuf. When there is a government control to make sure that no one puts anything in there except for cow milk. Skip ahead a couple lines. V'apri chadash kasav, dim chalav tamei biyoker. First, Pri Chadash says, if chalav tamei is more expensive, if non-kosher milk is more expensive, yesh lahatir kemo b'murius, kiven di yitiru chacham chalav bizmanshu mevurar, shari lechad lishne yitiru lasos kevina. V'af l'may dekaimel unlessar, haini mishum chalav debeni itfi. So he says, why do we aser the cheese made out of chalav, even though only kosher milk can make cheese? Because we're afraid that there is some non-kosher milk that gets stuck in the cracks, right? But why is the rest, if it had not been for that chashash, would have been okay? The cheese would have been okay. What about chalav akum? No, elamai, when you make cheese out of it, it's a raya that it's cow milk. You didn't see it get milked, but if it could turn into cheese, it must have been cow milk. So says Pri Chadash, Hu Adin, when you know for sure that the guy would never put any non-kosher milk in because he stands to lose by putting non-kosher milk. It's more expensive for him to put non-kosher milk in there, so then he wouldn't do it. So then it's also okay. V'chein itiru be'ein be'edro tmeh v'yoshi b'tzad ha'eduk mosh'arach Pri Chadash. Here it is. Meaning, what's the whole chashash? When there's nothing, there's no pig or camel in the barn, why is it that you need to stand guard at the door? Because what are you worried about? He's going to sneak a pig in there, he's going to sneak a camel in there. Camels are hard to sneak, but he's going to sneak something in there, something that's non-kosher, or he's going to sneak the non-kosher milk in there, so you need to guard the door. But what if outside of the door, there's nothing non-kosher in there either? Meaning, what if the perimeter, you had a perimeter outside of the door of a couple of miles around where there was nothing there? Would you have to guard the door? You would just have to guard the perimeter then. What if it was the perimeter was so large that the guy had no way that he was going to get out, he was going to get there and back? So then obviously, that would be it. You wouldn't need to do anything further. So the Pri Chadash says, when there's ein b'kolo ir tmeya, hadin no sein da'avi kein be'edro tmeya, v'yoshe b'tzad ha'eder. Oh, look, I'm in the city. The government is watching over to make sure you're not sneaking anything else. No one milks anything in the, no one milks anything besides for cows in the whole country. Mela, it's going to be mutter. That's the Pri Chadash's argument. Chazon Ish seems to quote it favorably. It relies on the metzius. This Pri Chadash relies on the metzius of no one in the whole country milking anything else. I don't know if that metzius is true in America. I know it's not true in Israel, as we mentioned before. They do milk other animals. They milk camels and make ice cream out of it in Israel. So I don't know if it's true in America, but it's a major mitzius assumption. Now, the Chasam Sofer and the Aruch HaShulchan went ballistic on this Pri Chadash. They were not at all happy with what the Pri Chadash said. Chasam Sofer is the more famous of the two Mar Makomos. I mean, if you tell someone you learned about Chalavakum, they'll assume you know the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer, which is, what number is it? Yeah, number 19. So he starts off the tshuva by saying, look, let's be done on the issue of whether chalav is a davar shenes or b'minyan, that, and therefore, even if there's no non-kosher animals there, it's still going to be aser, or it's just mishum chashash. And his raya is as follows. He has a very interesting approach. If you take a look at the beginning of the first paragraph, I want to read with you. He has and then a little section later on. His raya is as follows. Hine bishari duruk kasav umaviyu pri chadash v'zel shono. Chalav shechalvo goy ve'ein yisrael ro'ehu. If a goy milks a cow and a Jew doesn't see it, ein behema bedir asura do lepek chor b'neihu paris gedu yishkanu nachash. Kein pasuk Rashi zal that if you have chalav that was milked by a guy, no Jew saw it, and there is no non-kosher animal in the barn, so it's usur because we don't want anything bad to come out of it, and you shouldn't be poritz that gedder. V'loher makom ayei makomo b'Rashi ulai b'tshuva. He says he doesn't show where that Rashi is. Maybe it's a Rashi in a tshuva somewhere. Meaning, where does Rashi say that even when you know for sure that it's kosher milk, you know for sure that it's cow milk, that it's going to be usser? Where is there such a Rashi that when you know for sure that it's cow milk, it's going to be usser? So he says, I'll tell you where the Rashi is. The sugya we're going to start tomorrow, the Gemara has several opinions of how do we know that gvina sakum is aser? Where do we see that cheese made by a guy is aser? So the Gemara says one of the opinions is that you can't make cheese without having a little bit of milk inside the cheese. So if you look at Rashi, he says makshikshuatosos ha'agaylo yeshote la'ariv chalav tamis she'eno omed. We saw the Tosos. Tosos says, wait a second, what are you worried about? The guy is making cheese, and you're worried he's going to stick pig milk in there? He's not a moron. Pig milk doesn't help in the cheese-making process. Only cow milk helps in the cheese-making process. So the guy is trying to make cheese. Why in the world would he stick pig milk in the cheese? He says, but if you look at the Lashon of Rashi, you'll see it all works out great. The Svirle of the Rashi, the Chalav Gzera Kadmonis Haisa Kodim Shasru Gvina. Which Gzera came first? The Yisra of Chalav Akum or the Yisra of Gvina Sakum? Says the Chasam Sofer, let me teach you a little history. The Yisra of Chalav Akum was a Gzera that came before they ever asked Gvina Sakum. So he says, if you read Rashi carefully, and you have to see if you really read Rashi carefully if he says this, but he claims, if you read Rashi carefully, you're going to see that you know what the concern is when you make cheese, that there's going to be milk in the cheese, there's going to be milk in the cracks of the cheese. We're not afraid that that's pig milk. We're afraid that that's cow milk. And it's usher, because it's chalavakum. Because you didn't see the cow being milked. Of course it's not going to be pig milk. The guy's not going to put pig milk in the cheese. Now, why isn't all the cheese itself usher? Because before they made a gzera of gvinasakum, the gzera was chalav in its original form. You can't have chalav as chalav. But if you change the tzura of it and you turn it into gvina, that would be okay. That would be mutter. So, when the gzera of chalav was in place, and the gzera of gvina was not yet in place, they decided we need to make a gzera of gvina because there's milk stuck in the cracks of your cheese. And the milk that's stuck there, it's not that it's treifa milk. It's cow milk. But it is treif. You know why it's treif? Because, I shouldn't say the word treif, that's obviously imprecise. It's not kosher. You know why it's not kosher? Because there's a gzera of chalav akum. That's how Chasam Sofer reads Rashi. I challenge you to find that in Rashi. It's not so easy to find where in the world Rashi says that. Yeah?
Why didn't that milk turn into cheese?
It's always, there's always like a little bit nesiove or whatever. There's always a little bit of a byproduct.
Why didn't Chasam Sofer sort of take that into account. That didn't we say that isn't that what the whole Gemara is premised on? That the fact is that milk is not going to be cooked the kosher milk.
He's saying that's in the Chalav Akum Sugya. But in the Gvinas Akum Sugya, once Chalav Akum is already Aser, and the Gemara is trying to figure out, well, why would they Aser cheese? And the Gemara says it's because there's milk in the cheese. He says it's not pig milk that's in the cheese, it's cow milk that's in the cheese. It's a tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. That's what he wants to tie now. Later on in the Tshuva, he quotes the Pri Chadash. And the Pri Chadash, as we mentioned, is based on the Tshuva Sur Advaz, who seems to assume that the Gzeira of Chalav Akum is about a Chashash and not about a Davar Shebeminyan. So he quotes that, and he says how the Pri Chadash writes that in Amsterdam they were always makel with this, and they were knowing Al Pi the Advaz. And then the Chassam Sofer says something startling. He says that if the Advaz is right, that it's only because of a chashash, those people who drink chalav akum, who drink stam chalav nowadays, are in violation not of an isur drabanan, but of an isur da'oraisa. Whereas if the Radvaz is wrong, like I want a taina, says the Chassam Sofer, and really it's a davar shebeminyan, and it was a gzera that was made across the board, then those who drink chalav akum are at least only in violation of nisr drabanan, because the din of chalav akum is only drabanan. What's he talking about? What isr d'oraisa is there? What is isr d'oraisa? So there's a halacha in dinim of nedarin that if something is mutter and a minhag develops that people treat it as asr, so that minhag takes on the status of a neder. When I take a neder that I'm not going to get hana'a from something, if the mashal, someone takes a neder, they're not going to get hana'a from this desk, if they then go and get hana'a from this desk, they're in violation of Nisr D'oraisa or Nisr D'rabanan? D'oraisa. It's D'oraisa. The ability of a human being through the Koach HaDibur to create a Nisr D'oraisa. That's what neder does. So he says, you're right, even without Dibur, even stronger, just by minhag, by being noeg, a davar tov, several times, so that would make it an isser neder, that would have a din of a neder. So Chassam Sofer says, look, I don't know whether, well, he says he does know, but let's pretend for a second I don't know whether the Radvaz is right or wrong. But you know what I do know? That historically, anywhere but Amsterdam, everyone was always makbid about Chalav Akum. The Jewish people as a whole were careful about this. So he says, if that's true, that historically the Jewish people have always been careful about this, so then it's one of two things. Either they were careful about it because that's the din, in which case it's a din d'rabbanan, or they were careful about it because they took it upon themselves b'toras neder. And if they took it upon themselves b'toras neder, now it's an isur d'oraisa. Yeah.
Why is that only applicable to Chashash, and why not, you know, Davar
Shem Minyan? Why is that? No, because if it's a Davar Shem Minyan, then it's the din. Then the reason the Jewish people have done this is because it's the din, not because it's a neder.
But they're still making a neder on themselves, though.
No, they're just following the din. That's not a neder. They're just following the din d'rabbanan. Right,
but he's saying that,
a neder is not nifas in something that's aser, right? You can't take a neder on something that I'm not going to get enough, right? You're mushpav yom mit me'ar Sinai. Yeah.
Isn't the derais on the fact of the neder not the fact of the milk itself? The derais would be
right.
You broke a neder.
Correct.
Not the fact that you drank
it's,
the milk.
You're right. It's not an iser milk. It's an iser neder. Yeah.
So one of the sums over is there any like is there a concept of a minhag? Like what's the where's that time?
The Chassam Sofer, you should know, he does this in a lot of tshuvas, where he shows that, where he tries to say that those who are poritz geder and violate minhagim are in violation of Yisurim d'oraisa. That a minhag, he writes in several tshuvas that a minhag is stronger than a din d'rabbanan in a certain sense, because minhagim take on a status of d'oraisa. Part of the motivation in doing that is that Chassam Sofer worked very, very hard to fight the reform. And the reform started. They started by chiseling away some of the minhagim of Klal Yisrael. It didn't start with saying you know, you can marry a non-Jew like they do now, and it started with moving the bima to the front of the shul, things that were purely minhagim type of things, having the rabbi darshan in the language spoken in the country instead of lashon hakodesh, scandalous. But they had certain things that they started with. He popularized the phrase of Chazal, the Chadash Asr Min HaTorah, anything new is Asr Min HaTorah, and he believed that it's Mamash Asr Min HaTorah, that any change of Minhag is not just Asr Mit Rabbanan, it's actually Asr Min HaTorah. That's the Hungarian style in general, but the Chassam Sofer in particular was very into that. Now the Aruch HaShulchan also has some very strong words about the Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Hei and Sif Vav. I don't know if I put the whole Aruch HaShulchan in the Maram comes. I only put Sif Hei. Sif Vav is actually even more geschmack if you take a look. But the Aruch HaShulchan, normally, just the style of the Aruch HaShulchan is he's normally good for a kula. If you're learning Mishnah Berurah and you find Mishnah Berurah is too machmir, the Aruch HaShulchan was more of a community rabbi and was in touch with what people were doing. Well, not to say that the Chafetz Chaim wasn't in touch with what people were doing, but the Aruch HaShulchan was, he's usually takes minhag into account a little. Minhagim lahakel into account a little bit more strongly than the Mishnah Berurah would. Over here, the Aruch HaShulchan is really not happy that people are mekel. He says he refers to the Pri Chadash in some places, refusing to refer to him by name and just saying miyucha leheyus panov lumali taivas nafsho. Who? How could someone have such chutzpah just out of a taiva that they want to drink milk, that they want to drink the non kosher milk? He says it's absolutely absurd. It's ridiculous. In Siv Vav, he actually tells a story. He says, "I'll tell you why I think that it's a problem." And he goes on and he says, "I'll read you the story. It's a pretty cool story." He says, "Eliezer se'es avar lecha ich shekol divrei Rabbi Seinu HaKadoshim hem ki gachle eish." He says, "Just to add a little oomph to my argument, I'll demonstrate to you that all the words of our Chazal are like coals of fire." Mishes vada lefanai belev nishvar biyosi yoshev al kiso rabbi erplonis. Someone came to me and was moda to me and said a vidui to me, "Forgive me, Rabbi, for I have sinned." The type of thing. Sheechad me'abalabat machashuvim disham hayanoik heter bedavar. That one of the chashuv abalabatim in the community was noik heter on the milk. Biyosu chutz lebeis obira gadol b'medina. Whenever he would travel, right, he was kosher in the home. But outside the home, he was okay with eating, with drinking the milk. V'yashav tadir b'shem lakav, who owed orchim b'shosum chamim b'boker. He would go to a certain place, a coffee house or whatever, and they would drink hot milk every morning. Hayukonim, or hot coffee. Hayukonim chalav shamein shekorin samant. I don't know what that is, but they would buy a thick milk, like a cream. By a non-Jewish store, and they reasoned, Pri Chadash, it could be Mekel, it's milk, what could be wrong with milk? Upamachas hischilu lachkor b'nei, me'ayin lokech chenveni akatan hazeh, kol kachel of shamin. And they started to think, this little man pa shop across the street, how does this little guy get such an incredible supply of such fat milk, of such thick, strong milk like this? V'halachulu hachenveni v'shalo. So they went and they asked him. So the Chenveni says, "I'll tell you my secret. It's unbelievable. I buy a lot of meat and the marrow of the animals. I crush up into the milk. It gives a nice thick, nice thickness to the milk, and that's what you're drinking. So essentially, you're having basa b'chalav, nevela, right? Who knows what the and they were astonished. They were shocked." So that story happened, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, "You see, I'm right. You can't rely on this Pri Chadash. You can't rely that people aren't messing around with the milk." Now, mind you, that's not what Chazal were worried about. Meaning, the fact that it happened in one situation that someone stuck marrow into the milk, that's not what Chazal were worried about. Chazal were worried that you're going to stick non kosher milk into the milk. They didn't make the gzera for the marrow. I'll prove to you that they weren't worried about the marrow. Do you have to go? Let's say ein davar tameh be'edro, right? We said in the Shulchan Aruch, there's only cows in the barn. What do you have to do? All you have to do is stand guard at the door, make sure nothing goes in. Do you have to then go check that all the animals are still alive afterwards? How do you know he didn't shoot an animal in the head, take its marrow, and stick it into the milk? You just don't assume he did that, right? We don't have to be choshesh for those things. That's so unusual to be choshesh for something like that. Yeah.
Also, could we say the fact that he thinks you might walk in and see that animal sitting on the ground?
That's the fear, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, he said you don't have to walk in though, even. Yeah.
Can't you say that when he's saying this story, he's not saying that, oh yeah, so they were only worried about Mara, so whatever. No, it's saying that just like this cholov, so this is like an example of it. This cholov.
He's not saying that Mara was a real concern. What he's saying is that when you don't pay attention to Chazal's Isra of cholov akum, it's going to cause you trouble. Not the trouble necessarily that Chazal said it's going to cause you, but it's going to cause you trouble. And this is an example of how it causes you trouble when you don't listen. Yeah. Okay. Chazanish quotes the Pri Chadash much more favorably, and he quotes the Chassam Sofer, where this Chassam Sofer says it's enough in a raya from Rashi in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hei, and the Chazanish says, I don't see that Rashi, Avodah Zarah Lamed Hei, or I do see the Rashi, and he says exactly the opposite of what you're saying. Rashi is very clear, Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, in the Gvina Sakam Sugya. If you look at the Rashi, it seems pretty clear, Dibra Maskel, Lefi Shiev Shal Gvina, Belo Tzich Tzuche Chalav, says Rashi, that it's impossible that you're going to make cheese without a little bit of milk in there. Ben Guma Shal Gvina, Nishra Mena Chalav, V'Chalav V'Shal Chalav O'Av Chavim, Ve'i Shal Re'u Aser. Now that's the part of Rashi that Chassam Sofer was undoubtedly medayik in. Right, where Rashi starts out by saying, where are you going to find the milk? In the little holes of the cheese, because there's always some milk left in the holes, and we know that chalav, that a goy milked, that a Jew didn't see, is aser. If you stop reading the Rashi right there, you can read it like some sofer very easily. Right, what's he saying? That we're afraid there's milk in the holes of the cheese, and what's the problem? Milk that was milked by a goy is aser. Why doesn't he say the problem is chalav that comes from a pig is aser? So Chassam Sofer says, oh, you see from there that milk that comes from a cow is the concern. But then it goes on to say, Vaiter, Dilma Arav Bey Chalav Tameh. Maybe there's non-kosher milk mixed in there. The Chalav Tameh Eino Omed. And non-kosher milk doesn't become cheese. Vim Irev Tameh B'Tahar. And if you mix non-kosher and kosher milk, HaTameh Nisharim Nisivid Chalva HaTar Shakor Mishka. The tameh milk is going to stay there with the nesivei dechalva, the remnants of the cheese making process from the kosher milk, and that's going to be what's stuck in the cracks. So if you stop the Rashi at a certain point, you could read like the Chassam Sofer. The Chazanish points out, read the rest of Rashi, doesn't seem to work. So the Chazanish strongly rejects the Chassam Sofer. Now, Chazanish rejects the Chassam Sofer. Chazanish published the Sefer during his lifetime. His Sefer Chazanish, and he was very clear that he holds the Pri Chadash is good and it's fine. That didn't stop a whole group of later poskim from saying that Chazanish didn't mean it. A significant group of big people. If you look in, for instance, just to give some quick examples, in source number 22, toward the end, third to last paragraph, he says, "Hinei asapa l'kvodo d'lefnei chafei shanim." This is the Shevet Alevi, I think it is, right? This is a Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner, right? Rav Vosner Shlita. He writes, I'll tell you that 25 years ago, Kodim Sheitfis HaChazonish Davar Zeh, before the Chazonish ever published this, Sha'al Osi Imani Maskim Shiachlok Al Chassam Sofer, V'amarti Lo B'meh Medubar, V'heishiv Li B'yisod Shita Chassam Sofer Mirashi Anal, V'amarti Lo Ba'ani Delu Yehei Kedvar V'Shapir Shachassam Sofer B'div Rashi Tumua. Actually, this isn't denying that the Chazanish said it. This is Rav Vosner saying, I told the Chazanish he shouldn't say this. I told him he's got to be careful. Can't argue on the Chassam Sofer so easily. Right? So this isn't Rav Vosner denying it. Who denies it? So you go a little bit weiter, you'll find the people who deny it. The Chalkas Yaakov, if you look in source number 24, he says, V'nei Siperli Harav Hagon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Neched Harach. Right, the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, a grandson of Rav Chaim, told me, says the Chalkas Yaakov, it's not the Rav's father. He's referring to, must be referring to, I think there was another Rav Moshe, one of the other, the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was Rav Chaim's son, it wasn't the grandson. Right, the Briska Rav had a son that he named Moshe also, or one of them had a son named Rav Moshe. So he said, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik told me, Shehu shala chazanish al zeh, shom lov shehitr chalav akum, then he asked the chazanish, is it true that you're matir chalav akum? Veheshe b'zeh alashon, ma'od yomer alai, bekarv yomer alai, shani matir chaz shalom gan eish asish. So he says, the way the conversation went, they said to the Chazon Ish, really, you're Matir Chalav Akum? He says, yeah, when I was Matir Reish Ish, I was Matir Chalav Akum. Meaning, what are people going to say about me next? It's ridiculous. It's slander. How can they slander me like that? How can they slander him like that? I mean, he printed it in the book. You know, it's in the Chazon Ish. It's a little bothersome, you know, that if something doesn't fit your shita, you have to deny that he ever said it. Okay, so you don't have to accept every Chazon Ish. The problem is, Chazon Ish was Marad the Kol Aradi Yisrael. He was the greatest gadol of the time, and his word was the final word. He was like Rav Eliashiv.
What?
He's
been talking about Penebra, essentially what the sefer was written for.
No, but still, I mean, for him to say Chas V'Shalom, next thing say about me that I was Matir Neshes Ish, a little hard to say that, you know, to take such a denial. There are poskim that use the Pri Chadash at least as a sniff lahakel. If you look in the Lama Lahavol, the Rav Tzvi Hafman, I just wanted to get a sense of the literature that's out there. But getting back to our issue, before we get to Rav Moshe, getting back to our issue, we asked a question at the beginning of Shir. We started off by saying, look, there are all these examples in Halacha where a Jew doesn't actually see the milking, and yet the milk is perfectly fine and kosher in Halacha. Right, in davar tamei be'edro, the Jew is sitting outside, he doesn't see anything, it's in the Jew's house. So doesn't that indicate that the Chasam Sofer is wrong? Isn't that as strong a kasha as you could possibly have on the Chasam Sofer? How does Chasam Sofer deal with all that? Chasam Sofer says, no, it's a davar shel minyan, it's a low plug, there's no exceptions, I don't care what you know in terms of where the milk came from, it's a din that it's usher across the board. What's he going to do with all those examples? So in a piece my brother sent me, my brother wrote up a piece, my brother's a Rav in California, the author of Masiach B'Chukecha, anyone wants it, you can come to me, I'll get it for you, for $10. He wrote up a piece on the Inyan of Chalav Akum, and he had the following approach, which I thought was very interesting, and when you think about it, I think it's Rav Moshe's approach. Meaning, just Rav Moshe didn't quite say it this way. He says as follows, that in general, when it comes to Isra V'Heter, generally we're makel in one of two ways. Either we use Dine Torah, like Rov or Chazaka, and we can use and rely on those to be makel with Halachos, even if we don't know for sure what the Metzius is. The issue is not so much a question of Metzius, it's a question of, yesterday's Shir is a classic example. Right, according to the Shitas, what was it, Harash, that you could take all the three hamburgers and eat them all, but you know for sure you ate one non-kosher hamburger. Yeah, but Bittel Barov tells you that it's Batel, so that's it. It's not a Metzius issue, it's an issue of Halacha. And you don't have to be governed by the Metzius when you have the Halacha to determine. We also have a concept of Anan Sahadi or Umdana, to be Mevar the Metzius, that when you know for sure that there's no Dover Isser, that's also a way to be makil on Shilas. When you know for sure that there's no Shilas to begin with, that there was nothing there, that there's no Dover Aser. So he says, when Chazal were Gozer Chalav Akum, it's mistavit to say that they were Gozer any time that there's any sort of Chashash that Chalav Tamei will be mixed in, for sure they're Gozer in those cases, right? When there's a genuine Chashash that Chalav Tamei is going to be mixed in, that's obvious that there were Gozer that you can't have that milk, right? Even when there are Dine Torah that would tell you that you can rely on a Rov, you can rely on a Chazaka. Chazal's gzera was, don't rely on the Rov, don't rely on the Chazaka. Right? That's how we said Pshat. That how could it be that the whole Isser is only the Rabbanon, isn't it an Isser d'Oraisa? So who do we say the Pshat from? The Chazon Ish, right? The Chazon Ish learned, no, Mida Oraisa, you don't have to worry about it because Rov and 98% of Goyim would never think about putting pig milk in your milk supply. And right? So Mida Oraisa, you have nothing to worry about. The gezeira of Chazal was, worry about what midah oraisa you don't have to worry about. Even though, al pi the klalei hapsak of Rov and Bittel and all those things, you'd be okay, but still, where gozer you should worry about it. Chazal, where gozer not to be samech on that. Also, if there's no reason to be choshesh, that there's chalav tameh, that the guy would mix in chalav tameh, for instance, the guy would gain nothing out of doing that. But we also have no raya that he didn't do it. We just have no reason to believe he did do it, but we have no raya, for sure, that he didn't mix in chalav tameh. Or, if you don't know that there's, if you can't find chalav tameh in the whole city, where there's no reason to be choshesh that he mixed in the davar tamei, but again, you also don't have any reason to not be choshesh that he mixed in the davar tamei. You have no raya one way or the other. So in those kinds of cases, Chazal kept their gezeira. Meaning what he's trying to say is as follows. There are three types of situations you could have. You could have a raya that nothing happened. You could have no raya at all, but an assumption that nothing happened. Or you can have a raya that something did happen, right? That he did mix in, or at least an assumption that something did happen. So in the case, the third case, we have an assumption that something did happen, that he mixed in chalav tameh, that's obviously us. When you have no raya one way or the other, it just doesn't make sense that he would, but you have no raya that he didn't. Just there's no reason for him to yes do it. But there's no clear raya that he would actively not do it. Chazal were also gozer. When were Chazal not gozer? When you have a positive raya that the guy did not do it. So he says as follows. If you have reasons and logic and umdenos that he didn't mix anything else, here it is. The rule is as follows. When there is no reason to be choshesh for a davar tameh, but you have no raya that there's no davar tameh, you can't be mekel. And also, when there's reason to yes be choshesh that there's a davar tameh, it's just that there are chazakos and rov that we want to rely on, Chazal goes to be machmir there as well. Aval, b'makom sheyesh lanu yediya shelo irev bo davar tameh. But if you know it for sure, mipnei shayim mefachid mila arev, because he'd be afraid to mix it in. Or you were standing there and you know for sure that no davar tameh entered the barn the entire time. Even though you don't see the milking yourself with your own eyes, mutter. The way Chazal were gozer was that they were only gozer in situations where, yes, it doesn't make sense that he should put in chalav tameh. It doesn't make sense that he should do it. But you don't have a raya that he didn't do it. So Prichadosh wants to tie it up. Well, who milks camels? There's mishuganas that sleep with camels. I mean, you can find somebody who does everything. Who milks camels? So, do you know that he didn't do it? You don't know that he didn't do it, in the Prichadosh's view. So, says Chasam Sofer, you can't rely on that Prichadosh. You have no raya that he didn't do it. What about all these other cases where we rely on knowing that he... That's because we know that he didn't do it in the cases that we have in Shulchan Aruch. When you're standing outside of the barn and you know that nothing went in there, there's only kosher animals in there, you know you have a raya. That's the chilek. I thought it's a very good vart. What emerges from that, though, is that Rav Moshe is not arguing on the Chasam Sofer. And Rav Moshe will tell you the same thing, that he didn't think he was arguing on the Chasam Sofer. Rav Moshe is also mekel very famously with Cholav Akum Bizman Hazeh. Cholav Stam, Cholav HaKompanies Bizman Hazeh. But Rav Moshe's Svar is not the Svar of the Prichadosh. People confuse it sometimes. Prichadosh says, it's Ein Davar Tameh Be'Edro because no one milks these things. It's like you have a dog running around your barn, no one would even think about milking it, so it's called Ein Davar Tameh Be'Edro. Davar Tameh Be'Edro would only be if there's something milkable that someone would milk in the Eidah. Rav Moshe says, no, that's not the Svara at all. Rav Moshe has a totally different Svara. Rav Moshe has a concept called Eidus Yediyah below Re'iyah. That in order to be made about something, you don't have to see it. You just have to know that it's true. Seeing is not believing, knowing is believing, when you know it. And that's the and he gives four or five examples throughout the Tshuva. He gives four or five examples throughout the Tshuva of this concept of Yediyah below Re'iyah. That's Gemara Shavuos Lamed Daled. The classic example is the Gemara we're going to do in Daf Yomi soon, in Maseches Makos, where the Mishnah in Maseches Matos tells us that, who was it, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon said, if we, you know, that Mishnah that talks about how a bezin that kills somebody once every 7 years is a murderous bezin every 70 years, whatever. And Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon said, you know, if we were there, we'd make sure no one ever would get killed. So the Gemara says, really? How would you do that? What if, like, you had two kosher eidim warn the guy, you better not sleep with that woman, because you're going to get killed if you do that. And he does it, and he says, "Afal b'kein, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway." And, you know, b'tok de'dibur, and he does it. Like, so they say, well, we would ask the guy, did you see kimakchol b'shvil feres? Did you see that there was actual penetration of the male aver into the woman? You saw what looked like sleeping together. You saw what looked like they were having bia, but you don't know for sure that there was penetration. And therefore, we'd always save his life. So the Gemara says, and what would the Chachamim say? What would every other rabbi in the history of humanity say, that we would kill the guy in that situation? How could they kill the guy? You didn't see the bia. So the Gemara says, they saw bia. They didn't see actual penetration. But if you see two people that are doing that, you know it's bia. You don't need any further raya that it's bia. That's bia. So says Ramosha, but they didn't see. So Ramosha says, afno raya, that you don't need to see, or you need to know. And if you know that it's true, that's good enough. Yeah.
What about sota? You have to see through the window. Like, you have to. Isn't the mitzias different by the edim of sota? That they have to.
The edim stira?
Yeah.
The edim of when she's miyached?
Yeah.
So, I mean, no, they don't see anything. The edim stira just see she went into a room with somebody.
They don't have to see the penetration by sota?
There is no penetration, meaning if there were Aden that you saw the penetration, then she wouldn't be a sota. Yeah. She wouldn't be a suffix sota, she'd be an eshtish. Right? Ramosha gives a couple of other examples. He gives a total of, how many? Four or five examples. He gives a couple of other interesting examples. He says, Edel slikim adav by kiddushin. If, let's say, there's kiddushe bia, so all the Aden really have to see is the yichud. They don't need to see anything else. And then we rely on the idea of hene ne de yichud, hene ne de bia. That if, oh, come on, what do you think they're doing in there? They're having yichud, they must be having bia. Which is a big jump in logic to rely on that. But he says, you see, even that we're willing to rely on. And he says, we're willing to kill people based on these assumptions, based on what we know without having seen. So if you're willing to do it for dini nefashos, you're willing to kill people based on these things, he says it's got to be that. The other example is by Gerus. He quotes Yuval Mestaf Mem Hei. When it comes to Gerus, when in order to be Megayer, what do you need? You need Mila, Tevila, Kabbalas Mitzvos, right? So if it's a woman, she doesn't need Mila. She just needs Tevila and Kabbalas Mitzvos. You also need a Beis Din to be there. Lahalachi. You need a Beis Din to be there. So a woman does Kabbalas Mitzvos in front of the Beis Din. Okay? You could do that with some degree of tznius. The woman does Tevila. How do you do Tevila in front of the Beis Din? Right, rabbinical schools would be full, right? How does she tefillah in front of a beis din? So a woman does tefillah in front of a beis din. Tosfos says they don't have to see the tefillah; they just have to know it. They stand outside the door. They hear bloop, you know, they hear the her dipping coming out, and she comes out dressed, and everything's fine. That's good enough because they know. They know she went under. They don't have to see that she went under. Yeah.
When we say that. The rabbanon warrant goes there in by halalakam in a case where we know that they didn't do it. Is that applying to other gzeres as well? I mean, are we saying that when the rabbanon make a gzera, they don't make gzera when you know? Because then, like in Shafter's piece about we're fool. Let's say now that we know because it's not because no one's lucky in knowing how to make medicine that they're not going to make medicine. So isn't that yet do
that's different. We're not worried by refuah that you're going to be having something. It's we're afraid of some behavior that's going to follow. Right, we're afraid that if we let you take medicine, you're going to love Advil so much, but it's too expensive. You're going to learn how to make it, and you're going to crush it yourself. You're going to make your own herbs. You're going to do. It's your own behavior that's going to follow from that. Over here, it's a question of, is there a problem with this cheftza right here? I mean, I'm drinking this milk. Do I have to? So if you know for sure that there's no problem with it, because the government regulations tell you that there's no problem, then that's good enough. Now, Rav Moshe, also, it's interesting to note, in his tshuva, in a couple of places, he writes, why do I know this for sure, that they're not doing anything with the milk? He says, because, ye'anchu v'gam yasgiru es ha'esek shalahem. If they're caught putting pig milk in the cow milk, they're going to be punished, and they're going to have to close their business. And when they close their business, they're going to lose all their parnasa. So he says no one would ever, no one in their right mind would ever risk something like that. That's why Rav Sternbach was not so happy about this kula. Rav Sternbach says, and in several tshuvas, and I put a whole bunch of tshuvas from Rav Sternbach in the packet. You can take a look; they're easy to read. Rav Sternbach's tshuvas are always easy to read. But Rav Sternbach says that in South Africa, he says he did some research. He lived in South Africa, and he did some research. He's still alive. He lives in Eretz Yisrael now, but he I don't think he goes back to South Africa anymore. He's too old to travel. But he did some research, and he said that he discovered that they fine him a couple of $100s, and that's it. They go on. They don't close him down for even a day. So he said, I don't know what the laws are in America. It's been pointed out. I think I must have seen this on the Tanuva website or something. But in most countries, most normal civilized countries, the government not only checks to make sure that it's, how do they check? They actually test the milk. They'll test the milk every once in a while to make sure that, you know, that it has, that no one's watering it down, that they're not, and if presumably when they're testing the milk for everything else, they'll probably pick up on pig milk being mixed in there. So that also might help with the yediyah that Rav Moshe talks about. There is a discussion, and this, yeah.
And just to share much there, but did he agree with Rav Moshe in America, though, that America would be okay?
No, because he has another thing that he gets very excited about, which is that he says whenever Chazal made an Isser, they never told you all the reasons for the Isser. You mentioned this last week. There are always more reasons, and the real reason of Chalav Akum is that they don't want you mixing in with the Gayim, and this is just another one of those things where you're having their milk, you're going to mix in with the Gayim too much. So it's just so that was the real reason. They just didn't say that. It wasn't a stated reason, but that was one of the real reasons. And he says that he quotes the Divrei Chaim, that the Divrei Chaim quoted from one of the previous rabbis or something, that there is a hidden reason for Chalav Akum, which people always assume means some Kabbalistic reason that it's Aser, but Rav Sternbach says, no, it's probably not a Kabbalistic reason, it probably means this reason that you're going to mix in with the non-Jews, and that's the real reason. But he has an interesting raya to it also. He says, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah Laman Hayam Vey says, El Vram Shalavichav Masur Venisur Nisra Na. So what does it list? Chalav Akum, Pas Akum, Shemen Akum, and Shlakos, right? Which is Bishlakum. Of those four, besides for Chalav Akum, the other three are all about that you're going to mix in with them. They're not about that someone's going to put something non-kosher in the food. Then it goes on to say, the Kvashin Shadarkan Lassus Tochan Yayin V'chametz, Tiryas Trufa, Tzir Shein Badaga, all of those are examples that we're afraid something non-kosher is going to be put into the food. So it's an interesting deal. Right. Rashi says kulam mishum chasnas, but we always assume, and the way we read that Rashi was, yeah, it doesn't mean kulam, except for what the Gemara is about to say in two lines from now. That's not mishum chasnas. So he says, but when you medayik in the Mishnah, the fact that it puts it together with the other things, why would the Mishnah be misadarit in that way? The fact that the Mishnah is misadarit in that way indicates that there must have been some other reason. I don't know why they would hide the reason here and not hide it elsewhere. That part doesn't sit well with me. Yeah.
So the Chassam Sofer, would
hold that if you have a raya that there was no milk mixed, no treif milk mixed in, that's fine. The Isser is only if you have no raya one way or the other. You just say, yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's more expensive. Why would he do that? It's not a raya that he didn't do it. It's more expensive. Or who milks a camel? That's not a raya. So Chassam Sofer rejects Pri Chadash, where Moshe will say, Chassam Sofer would agree with me, Ramosha would say, because I have a raya. The fact that there are government regulations that see to it, that's a raya. And that's good enough. That's all you need. One more issue I just wanted to mention that also relates to this chakira is the discussion you find about what they call avak chalav. Avak chalav is dehydrated milk, the milk powder. So sometimes if you're going on a trip or something, some milk can spoil. You don't want to pack milk in your suitcase. But you want to have milk for your coffee, so you bring powdered milk. And you just put it in, it doesn't spoil. You put it, it doesn't need to be refrigerated even.
put it in the coffee, and it once it connects with liquid again, it reliquefies and it becomes like milk. So is there an iser of chalavakum when it comes to avak chalav? So the Chazon Ish, in that same piece that we were reading before, too many pages in this Ramakom, Chazon Ish says that avakas chalav is not like gvina v'chema, because gvina is made by removing the water from the gush and separating things, and he goes on to say, but avkas chalav is made just by heating it and dehydrating it. There's no real change in the milk. It's just, there's nothing substantially that's changed about it. And he said the greatest raya is, put it back in your coffee, and it's just like having regular milk in your coffee. Nothing changes about it. There's nothing substantially qualitatively that changes about it. You're just drying it. So there's no such din that cooking milk, for instance, is going to make the milk okay in terms of chalav akum when it's pasteurized. That doesn't make it okay. You need to actually change it. Making it into gvina is changing it. And that's why they needed a separate issur of gvina sakum, because if you were to take chalav akum and make it into gvina, that would have been okay. Right? Because that would have been fine. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. Now, what emerges from the Chazon Ish is that let's see for a second. The Hartzvi, Rav Yosef Frank, thinks, no, it's totally permissible. Because the gezeira is only one when it comes to your possession as milk. There was never a gezeira on powder, there was a gezeira on milk. Now, what might be the issue over here? The issue might be about this, what the nature of the gezeira is. If it's just davar sheminyan, so it's not about what you're choshish for, what you're not choshish for. Davar sheminyan. So if it's davar sheminyan, what was davar sheminyan on? It wasn't on powder, it was on milk. So you can argue, this isn't the tzura. This isn't the way it was made. If it's a chashash, they could probably dehydrate other milk just like they dehydrate camel. So if it's a chashash, you have the same chashash. It's a reverse nafkamina. All the other nafkaminas run the other way, right? This nafkamina goes where, if it's a davar sheminyan, you have what to be makel with. If it's a chashash, you don't have anything to be makel with. The Sefer Chalkas Binyamin, he has a nice piece on this in the Biurim. We don't have time for now. I want to make sure we're on time for Maariv. But in Bez Hashem tomorrow, this last piece I have about cheese made by a Jew with chalav akum, I don't think we're going to get to. I want to start Gvina Sakum. Maybe I'll throw it into the Gvina Sakum packet or something. Or I want to start Gvina Sakum tomorrow. So Bez Hashem tomorrow will and tomorrow again, Shir is early. We can do Shir at 8:00 tomorrow.